Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." For a few minutes this morning, I want us to consider this idea, the servant of Christ. Before we get into the lesson, again, I want to welcome and thank everyone for your presence this morning. It's a lot warmer than it was last week. It's supposed to warm up. Hopefully we're through the spell of bad weather for a period. I know it's not over for the winter yet, but it's good to see everyone able to be out. So, if we are a Christian, we are a servant of Christ. And what does that mean? The word means it's frequently indicating subjection without the idea of bondage. It can be bondage, but it is subjection, metaphorically of spiritual, moral, and ethical condition, servants. The perfect example being Christ himself in Philippians 2, verse 7. And we see being a servant of God, being a servant of Christ, being a servant of sin, being a servant of corruption. That's how the definition lines out what it means to be a servant. I invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, and I want to look at the first 10 verses, and then we will take that as our text for our sermon. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, and to the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. For now do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we see Paul setting out this idea about men, people trying to pervert and change the gospel. But as servants of Christ, we cannot. And when we think of a servant, going back to the definition and looking how it's used in the Bible, we understand that there are servants of all kinds. And the good servants of the world have their distinguishing marks. We'll look at somebody, an employee at work. They've got good marks of how they do their job. People in different areas, we see these marks that set them apart from someone else. We see that in servants of the world. The true servant of Christ has his distinguishing marks also. So let's think about some of those and consider those. The first one is to be obedient. A lot of people want to know, what do you want me to believe instead of what do you want me to do? Because when you get into believing things, you can believe whatever. That's the question that many people have. They don't want to do something. But again, we need to have the attitude to have an ear open for our master. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Whatever he says, we need to do. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You know, among the babble of the world's voices, his voice is the one that we obey. Joshua 24:24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Yet so many people today do not want to obey the voice of God. What do they want to do instead? Many would rather complain than follow. It's easy to offer tears instead of obedience. But obedience is better than sacrifice. Jesus, who left us an example, said, "I do always those things which please him." John 8:29. Are you ready to obey? Then whatever he says, that's what we need to do. But we see so many people. You see them in the workplace. You see them in organizations. You see them in the church sometimes. You want me to do that? Ah, and they just start crying, "I've got too much to do. I can't do this. I'm doing that. And I have to check with this and that and see if I can." Friends, we just need to be obedient. 2 Samuel 15:15, "And the king's servant said to the king, 'We are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord the king commands.'" Now, we might justify in our minds being like that little child in the last slide and crying about something going on in the world to get out of it. But friends, when it comes to the Lord's work, if we are servants of the Lord, we are your servants, ready to do whatever my Lord the King commands. What he commands us, we need to do. Well, the servant of Christ also needs to be diligent. Proverbs 12:24, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. And the way of righteousness is life, and its pathway there is no death. We see so many lazy people today for a variety of reasons, but they're just plain lazy. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. When we are a servant of Christ, we need to be diligent. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, "Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Again, Paul, being the servant of God, is telling Timothy to be diligent in being a servant. And so should we be. Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." If we have a job to do, we shouldn't do it begrudgingly or half-heartedly or just seeing how little we can do to get by. We need to do it with all of our might, heartily as unto the Lord. Well, another characteristic of a good servant of Christ is humility. In honor, preferring one another, according to the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, if there's any honor to be had, give it to someone else. That's the rule among the servants. The servant of the Lord must not strive. But envy, like Miriam's leprosy, totally unfits us for service. So when someone does something for the Lord, do we praise them for what they do? Or do we say, "Oh, I should get the praise for what I do"? In honor, preferring one another. We give someone else the honor. We praise them. We need to be humble. If not, we are not seeking in some measure our own and not the Master's glory. God gets all the glory, but we need to humble ourselves and give the glory to others when they are doing it. Our highest place is in being low. Uzziah was helped till he was strong, but when he was strong, pride and destruction followed. 2 Chronicles 26. "And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and on the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong." We need to be careful what we put our faith in. not in our strength, but in the Lord's strength. You think about different men and their humility. Jacob, when he was wrestling with the angel. Joseph, the faultless, sinless servant, said, "It is not in me." He could not sin against God. He was humble. Paul, the successful servant, said, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." We need to follow these examples, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. We need to be humble. Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. And you think about Paul, if anyone had the right to boast, if anyone had cause to boast, it was Paul. But he did not. All of those things that he became and acquired in his former life, he said, "It's rubbish. It's not worth a thing. It's God who gets the glory." So we need to be obedient, diligent, humble. We need to be persevering. We need to keep pressing on, pressing on. Jacob, the deceiver, served 14 years for the object of his affection. We talked about him recently, deceiving his father, deceiving his brother. Then when he's ready to find a wife, he himself is deceived. But he didn't give up. He worked 7 more years, worked 14 years to get the one that he wanted. "You shall reap if you faint not." If the master gives us work to do, we should do it faithfully. And sometimes we might get discouraged because we like to see the results of it quicker. We might like to see something to keep pushing us on. But you think of so many people, the work that they have done is not going to come to fruition. It's not going to bear fruit till after they've died. But we need to be busy sowing the seed. Elijah sent a servant 7 times with one message, and he went and murmured not. It was not the servant's place to make the cloud, nor yet to despair at the seeming fruitlessness of his journeys. His duty was to go and look. It's not our duty to save everyone in New Lebanon. It's our duty to share the word with everyone. We sow the seed. We plant. We work the soil. And then God will take care of things in his time. Persevering. A servant often goes discouraged because he does not see the signs of the coming blessings. If we don't see them, what do? Do we give up? No, we keep going. We need to keep going. Be assured that he hears the sound of abundance of rain. Isaiah 42:2, he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. We just keep going about doing what we were supposed to be doing, and the Lord will bring things about in his time. We need to persevere. Psalm 102, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. When we go about serving with perseverance, pressing on and pressing on and pressing on, we need to do it with gladness. Not like the crybaby in the earlier slide. "Well, I'll do it. I tried that. I'll do it again. I know it's not going to work, but I'll try one more time." No, we shouldn't go grudgingly. We should serve the Lord with gladness. Well, the servant of Christ, as servants of Christ, we need to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards and servants that one be found faithful. And I'm thankful that it is not that he said to be found successful. We're to be faithful. There's a difference. 1 Chronicles 28:9, we need to have a perfect heart and a willing mind. and will be successful according to the Master's will, even if we think that we are failing here, if we are faithful in doing what he says. 1 Chronicles 28:9, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. I think sometimes we associate not seeing something with thinking that God is not with us or he's forgotten us. Friends, we should never think that. Satan wants us to think that. God knows what we are going to do before we do it, not just today, for the rest of our life. He's all-knowing. He has a plan for us. He sent his son to save us. He has that book that's written with our life, the plans that he has for us, and not just the things that we do. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we are thinking, and he knows our heart. And you think about the references to David and his heart and how he loved God. And throughout the Psalms, you could see David pouring out his heart. God is looking at the heart of his faithful servants. He that has only $100 will not be responsible for $100,000. We think, oh, if God did this for us, I could do so much more. If I had this, if we had that, we could do so much. Friends, he's not going to give us more or hold us accountable for more until we are held responsible for and a good steward of what we have. If all we have is $100, we need to make the best use of that $100. If we have $100,000, we need to make the best use of that $100,000. Again, when we look at the different parables of the servants and the talents, God gives different people different talents, things to do, things to use. But we want, a lot of times people have this reversed. They want, and this dollar amount just represents whatever you want to think in this illustration. We want to have that $100,000, but we want to only be responsible for $100. That way we can goof off and mess around and not do with it what we should, but we want that big whatever it is. We must be faithful with what God gives us before he will give us more. The cup of cold water will not lose its reward. It's the little things that we do also, that faithful service. Eternity gives dignity to the lowliest service. You think about our actions here and how long eternity is. It's hard. We can't really even comprehend what eternity is. But it's either going to be with God, everlasting life, or with Satan and his angels, everlasting death and destruction. And part of the decision of which place we end up is going to be by the little things that we do. Eternity gives dignity to the lowliest service. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Well, another characteristic of a servant of Christ is to be courageous. I like the book of Joshua because he talks about this over and over. Be strong and of good courage. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Only be strong and of good courage. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. So the book of Joshua, among other things, is a very encouraging book to give us courage. But then that raises the question, why would he mention it so many times? And I believe the answer is because so many times we lack courage. Satan comes after us to make us doubt. And when we doubt, we lose our courage. Be of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. You think about Moses. Moses as a servant was very courageous when he demanded of Pharaoh the surrender of all Israel. He was a bold ambassador. He knew what he was not sent to warfare on his own charges. And when we do war, when we do warfare out in the world, we aren't doing it on our behalf. It's on God's behalf. When we are in that spiritual battle, that spiritual war that is going on, it's not our doing. His authority was, I am hath sent me. When Pharaoh asked him, who sent you here? I am that I am, Jehovah. We are servants of Jehovah. Why are we fearful? God has said, lo, I am with you. God is with us. We need to be courageous. And again, from class this morning, thinking about John the Baptist and the courage that he had to speak so boldly to any and everybody and the multitudes that would come out to hear him. And he didn't preach the gospel of health and wealth and happiness and financial success. He called them a brood of vipers. He told them to repent. And he was beheaded. He was put to death because of his boldness. Again, like Jesus said, never a man lived that was greater than he, except one that is in the kingdom of heaven. Courageous. We may tremble, but we've got to go forth. And when we start to falter and have fear and tremble, we just need to remember we aren't going by ourselves. We are going for the Lord and with the Lord. All of God's servants should have the courage to make the same demand of the world that the Master makes. We need entire surrender. We need entire separation, entire consecration. We add to our faith courage. And see, we want to surrender to God, but not my whole body, not my whole life, not all my time. We want to be separated from the world, but not all the way. Friends, God, we need to have the courage for entire surrender, entire separation, entire consecration. Well, not only do we need to be courageous, we need to be devoted. In Exodus 21, we have the confession of the devoted servant. That which is devoted to the Lord shall not be redeemed. You're not your own. We were bought with a price. We need to glorify God. Exodus 21:1. Now these are the judgments which ye shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife of her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This servant that was devoted to his master and didn't want to leave his master. Devoted. The Levites were called to serve at the age of 25 and were discharged at 50. You think about this. They gave the best of their lives to God. That's the prime of their lives. Friends, God requires the best. He is worthy of the best. And many live in the expectation of doing God a favor. I'm doing God a favor by giving him what I give. Friends, that's not the attitude that we are to have. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And what does Paul say? That's only a reasonable service. For everything that God has done for us, it's only reasonable that we live as he has told us to. The servant of Christ needs to be uncompromising. First, with the world. When Moses was trying to get the people to go, Pharaoh said, "Go, but you shall not go very far. Go, but leave your little ones and your flocks." What if Moses had said, "Okay, I'll go, but not go very far. Okay, I'll go, but I'll leave our little ones." No, he was uncompromising. The servant's answer was an emphatic as a thunderbolt. "Not a hoof shall be left behind." Moses was not going to compromise with Pharaoh. He was not going to give in. "Let us build with you," says the world. But the wholehearted servant answered, "Ye have nothing to do with us to build." Ezra 4:3. "Come down to the plain of Ono." The response of Nehemiah was, "I cannot come down." Jephthah said, "I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot draw back." Let us not be among those that draw back. You see, there is this spirit that prevails in the world to compromise. Give in. We all got to get along. It fits in with the diversity, the inclusiveness. We just go along. God says we cannot be compromising. The servant of Christ cannot compromise. So there's compromising first with the world. There's compromising second with sin. The command given to Israel was to drive out, destroy, and dispossess. When they went into the land of Canaan, they were to drive out the inhabitants. They were to destroy everything there. And they were to take possession. They were to dispossess the ones that were there. And when they didn't do that, every person they spared was an enemy they spared, which was a trouble that they created, which eventually led them into captivity. The compromising Saul spared Agag, but the uncompromising Samuel hewed him in pieces. So let us do with every hidden sin. We've got to be uncompromising. With sin, we need to crucify the old man with his lust. As servants, let us stand on the dignity of God's word and dwell with the king for his work. Then others will be constrained to say, "Happy are these thy servants." Remember that the eyes of the master are on us. "I know thy service." Revelation 2:19. So the servant of Christ, as Paul was writing to the Galatians, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed." There are so many different gospels that are being preached today. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Friends, we need to be obedient, diligent, humble, persevering, faithful, courageous, devoted, uncompromising. And most importantly of all, we need to make sure that we are a servant of God. We need to accept that redemption, that reconciliation that he has done for us. We need to be baptized. We need to let him pay that ransom so he can buy us out of sin. buy us out of the bondage of sin. We stop serving that old master. We serve Christ, our King. We serve Him faithfully, and He will reward us faithfully. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.